Embrace wisdom, embracing the wisdom of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 is the scripture we're focusing on for this month. For all of God's promises find their yes of fulfillment in him, in Christ. And as his yes and our amen ascend to God, we bring glory to him. So basically what this scripture is saying, that God says yes to all of his promises, our response should be amen, or so be it. That's your faith response. And the Bible says this brings glory to him. His promises being fulfilled in your life bring glory to him. There's some, you know, when I was growing up, we thought if we were sick, it brought glory to God. If you were in poverty, that brought glory to God. I've been down that road. How many have been down that road? Sick and broke. And that does not bring glory to God. Actually, it does not even teach, you know, people says, well, you know, the Lord's trying to teach you something. It will just teach you how to hug the great white throne when you're puking your guts out. That's what it will teach you. Oh, is that too much of a picture? Anyway, all right, but anyway, it doesn't teach you that. So we need to rethink God, how much he loves you. If you can just get in your mind, this helped me years ago more than anything, and that is a loving father. You know, I'm thankful for my father that, you know, the last probably 10 years of his life, we had a great relationship. He left when I was 9 years old. And so I did not have a great relationship of a father and didn't know much about how a father should love his kids because I really didn't have one. But I'm thankful, you know, the last few years of his life, he really dedicated his life to God. He was just loving God. But the Lord always just put in my heart how much of a great father he is. And if I'm a father now, and a grandfather, and so I want to show how much I love my kids and my grandkids. And I just think how much I love my kids and grandkids, that always is in the back of my mind of how much my father loves me, much, much more. So you need to think that way. You need to think that, you know, when people think, well, you know, maybe God is punishing me. Well, is that how a father would punish you? You know, I mean, your kids would be taken away if you put sickness on your kids. Your kids would be taken away if you wouldn't provide for them. And yet that's what we put on our Heavenly Father. Much, much better God than anybody could dream of being a great father. He really is. And like I've said this before, it's so good. Nobody's going to get to heaven, and when you get to heaven, go, you know what, I overestimated how good you were. Nobody's going to say that. Nobody's going to say that. Yeah, I thought you were too good. I should have lowered my standard on your goodness. Even in the Old Testament, under an old covenant, the Bible says in Hebrews we have a better covenant. Even in the old covenant, it says that surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. The goodness of God and his mercy of God. And we need both of them every single day. The goodness of God. What is the goodness of God? Everything that he is. Everything that he is. Everything that he is. And this is how we bring glory to him. Believing that he is good, and then that goodness being manifested in your life, which would be healing being manifested in your life, which means that all of your needs are met in abundant way, are being met in your life, and that brings glory to him. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your spirit to speak to each and every one of us today. Your glory to be represented, your goodness to be manifested in our lives. May minds be renewed, hearts touch, bodies be healed in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking about wisdom this month, and nobody's born with wisdom. Nobody comes out of the womb going A squared plus B squared equals C squared. Nobody does that. It has to be acquired. And the best place on earth, you know, I believe in great education, but the best education that you'll ever get is from the Bible. It's from the Word of God. No, young people, we're not saying drop out of college and drop out of school, but I know how young people think sometimes, even though. Anyway, the Bible frequently talks about something that it says will bring you riches, long life, and happiness. You know, and that's what really the world is seeking after. They're seeking after being well off, long life, and happiness. That's what the world seeks after. And God says that I have provided all three of those for you. All three of those. And it can be summed up in wisdom. Nothing you can acquire would do more to improve the quality of your life than the wisdom of God. I'm going to say it again. Nothing you can acquire will do more to improve the quality of your life than the wisdom of God. And the only reliable source of that wisdom is the Word of God, spending time with God. I truly believe that the church has not tapped in to the wisdom of God like we should be, because we mostly are going to God for spiritual things, for forgiveness, for love, for the fruit of the Spirit, you know, the kindness. We really wrap our arms around God when it comes to the spiritual part of God. But this is what I know. God came down here on this planet through a body. He was poured into a body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he knows all of our natural needs as well. He does. He knows that you need finances. He knows that you need health. But I believe when it comes to the wisdom of God that the church is not tapped into our potential as far as ideas of starting a business or just coming up with things that can be a blessing to people. I'm so thankful for all of the great things that people have invented or discovered. You know, I mean, there's some things that, you know, can raise your eyebrow. How many have heard of that chat? What's it called, Joel? Chat, what's that? GPT. How many have heard of Chat GPT? Only two of you. I'm going to educate you this morning. There is AI, it's artificial intelligence. For the last 12 months, it has taken on almost an unbelievable role. I mean, we were just messing around with it at home. And you can tell it to do just about anything. It's artificial intelligence, but it acts almost like a human being. It can respond to everything to you. So, you know, Kiana has a dog that it's deaf. And so Jared said, write me a song about a deaf dog that's, is that all you said to it? Write a song about a deaf, and within seconds it went brr, 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 and it wrote out the verses and the chorus and the verse and two or three choruses. And we read it, and it was like, holy cow, it was good. It was really good. And so Elon Musk, he was interviewed, and they said, what is one of the things that you fear? And he said this. He said, I fear the artificial intelligence is going to go so far beyond what we think and that it will not have borders. I mean, have you ever seen that movie, I, Robot? It's an old one. Have you seen that? Oh, you have. You haven't heard of something like AI. But anyway, so it's kind of like those robots. If you saw that robot, they just started taking over the city because the main computer started thinking for itself and doing for itself and just doing crazy things. I'm not here to promote fear into you. Some of you are going, oh, Jesus, help me. No, just don't ever get one of those robots to live in your house. He said that they can be so much smarter than any human being. I mean, that is unbelievable. But that is just what, that is one person or people that have tapped in to the wisdom that is put in mankind to develop something like that. I don't know about you, but that's just, and here's the church. Let me just say this. We need to be able to tap in to that kind of wisdom. If they can do that on their own natural ability, because they're made, every person's made in the image of God. We are made in the image of God. How much more should the church be able to tap into that kind of wisdom? Are you hearing me? Supernatural wisdom. And I know some of you may say, well, I'm retired. I really don't want to. Listen, wouldn't it be great if you retired and you had another revenue stream of income coming in? Would anybody object to that? You know, I'm retired. I don't really care about that. All right. You just need to check and see if you have a pulse. But anyway, you can do so many great things. There are so many people that are hurting financially. There are so many people, and granted, I'm as a pastor, I want hearts to be healed, bodies to be healed. I want people to be born again. We need that, absolutely, absolutely. But that doesn't mean, you know, I really don't need that other part. Really. Jesus, 2,000 years ago, died for you, spirit, soul, and body. Everything that you need, he took care of. Everything. You heard that illustration where this family, they were just scraped up all of their money. This is before air travel, and they were going to cross the ocean to come to the United States. And so they were coming from Europe, and so he was saving up all of his money and everything. They got tickets for him and his kids, and they got on this ship, started crossing, went all the way across, and he just told his family, now listen, we have cheese, and we have bread, and we have water. We're just going to do our best to get across the ocean and get to America. They were coming to live in America. So they did that and everything. And right as they were porting, that's probably not the right word. What's the word? Docking? That didn't sound right. Anyway, they got to New York City. Anyway, they got to New York City. They were coming out. And the captain of the ship said, you know, we never did see you all come up out of your room. I'm so sorry, you know, because, you know, we didn't have the money, you know, to come up to the dining area to eat and everything. So we just stayed and ate in our room. He said, oh, sir, your ticket paid for all of your meals, for all of your family. You could have came up to the dining area and had 3 meals a day for the whole trip. We're going to get to heaven and it's going to be the same scenario. You know, at the cross, I took care of you, everything spiritually. I provided for you to be a new creature in Christ. At the cross, I took everything for your physical well-being, that you could walk in my health. At the cross, I took care of all of your needs in an abundant way so that you could be blessed coming in, blessed going out. Whatever your hand is set to shall prosper. I took care of it all. It's going to be the same response. That's what I believe. You know, the Bible says in Revelation there's going to be weeping when people get to heaven. I think that's probably going to be the biggest part. You mean it was all provided for? Yeah. Paid in full. Cha-poom. Everything. Spirit, soul, and body. Everything. 2 Peter 1:3. God's provided everything that you need for this life. For this life. This is why I think understanding the wisdom of God is so vitally important. Wisdom. Not just to get money just for the sake of money. One of my mentors, Billy Upperhart, he says he's a multimillionaire, and he says this is what the Christians need to know. Making sense of making money to make a difference. We want to make a difference with our money. We want to make a difference with our money. There's not a ministry on this planet that could not do more for the kingdom of God if they had more money. I know you all, I know church, you know, it's a scary thing to talk about money. It shouldn't be. Did you realize Jesus talked more about money than he did prayer? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, check it out. Jesus talked more about, you know why? Because he knew we'd have more problems with money than we do praying. Oh, did he know? Oh, did he know? He knew. Listen, we need to talk about money because the Most Christians are more broke than people in the world who don't believe God. Come on now. This is not guilt or condemnation. I'm just saying we need to be a blessing to help people. It's just inside of my heart that I want to help people, especially like single moms and moms that are just struggling. I have such a passion to help them. To where if they can't pay rent, that's okay. We're going to buy you a house. You won't ever have to pay rent again. Wouldn't that be awesome? Would that be such a testimony of showing the goodness of God? Instead of just slap them on the backside and say, well, the Lord will take good care of you. Hallelujah. Yeah, that'll help them. That'll help them. They're going to feel encouraged. Okay, I'll get behind here. I feel safe back here. This is what 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 5 says. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. That's not one of their scriptures, I know. But just getting a hold of God. Why was him seeking God causing him to prosper? Because wisdom was constantly being manifested. I'm going to say it again. When you're seeking God, you're giving yourself the opportunity for the wisdom of God to be manifested in your everyday life. Your everyday life. Your everyday life. You know, Solomon wrote the majority of Proverbs. And a proverb is a short, popular saying expressing a well-known truth or fact. In the book of Proverbs is a list of God-given principles to live by, how to conduct your life. So that's why, you know, at least once a year, you ought to go through the book of Proverbs. It's just the wisdom of God being poured out. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 35, it says this, "For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." Whoever finds me, he's talking about wisdom. Whoever finds wisdom obtains favor from the Lord. Whoever finds wisdom is going to have the favor of God running all over him. You have favor, but the wisdom of God draws it out and causes it to be manifested. Those who find wisdom obtain favor of the Lord. Knowing the ways of God gives us an advantage over those who do not. What the world is really seeking comes from the wisdom of God. You know, but sometimes even Christians, you know, there's times that in my life, probably yours too, that you may get depressed, you may lose your way and just feel a little hopeless. And if you're watching too much of the news, you probably feel that way a lot. Because, the news is just filled with everything is just going down the toilet. And it can cause you to worry and have anxiety. But listen to this. Anxiety will cause you to lose track of the tools and the things that God has put inside your life. Worrying and having anxiety. Anytime we are in a challenging situation, the enemy works hard to make us mindful of every negative thing and even the threat to your safety and well-being. And so it causes people to worry. This is his major tool. The major tool of the devil, I mean, people say, oh, the devil is going to kill us. If that was the case, he would have killed all of the Christians a long time ago. His major tool is to discourage you, try to get you to worry and to fear. When Peter walked on the water, first of all, Peter just sits there. How bold, you know, Peter gets a bad rap for a lot of stuff, but how bold it was. Jesus is out there walking on the water, and he ate with Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He knew he could pinch him. He was a real person. And so when he saw Jesus walking on the water, he didn't just think, it's a deity trick. He didn't think that. He said, Jesus is a man. He's out there walking on the water. And he said, Jesus, can I come out there and walk on the water with you? Jesus didn't say, no, I'm sorry, it's a deity trick. Can't do that. Man can't do that. You just can't do that. But I'm glad you're really getting out there and being bold about it. No, what did he say? One word. Come. I don't believe there was any hesitation. As soon as Peter finished the question, Jesus said, come. The dude steps out of the boat and he's walking on water. But what made Peter start to sink? The devil? No. He took his focus off of Jesus, and anxiety and worry and fear started. He started looking at the waves as if the waves were causing him to start to sink. I don't know about you, but if it was a calm, flat ocean with not one ripple, you wouldn't think, oh, that'd be easy to walk on. No, but nobody thinks that way. You know, you don't think it, well, if the waters were calm, you know, Jesus, if you make the waters calm, I'll go out there and walk on the water. No. Rough waters or smooth waters have nothing to do whether or not you and I can walk on it. In other words, everything that you can see, everything that you can feel has nothing to do with the will of God and the power of God to work and function in your life. But anxiety, listen to me, it's still true today. You may not be walking on water, but if you're believing God, anxiety, worry, and fear will get you to get off course and get you to forget about what you're believing for, to forget what the promises of God are to you and me. So get a hold of that. The next time you start worrying about something, fearing something, having anxiety about something, you know, just saying, oh, man, oh, God, what? You can rest assured this is where you're supposed to be walking, and the devil is trying to get you to walk down this path to make sure you don't get to your destination, to make sure that you don't get to your destination. Oh, hallelujah. We can be in a moment of conflict. We can be in a moment of confusion. We can be in a moment of just not understanding where life is. You remember the story when Jesus had, he had all kind. He didn't just have 12 followers. He had over, does it say 70? I think he had 70 or 80 other disciples that are following him close. And so he gets up and he's preaching this, you don't have my life in you. You know, we read that and we understand what he's talking about. But imagine back then, you know, they're going, what did he say? Something about eating his flesh? Yeah, not only eating his flesh, drinking blood. I can't drink blood. I don't even like my steaks rare. You know what I mean? So all of the disciples go, no, we can't do this. They had no clue of what Jesus was saying. This is my point. They all left except for the 12. Jesus turns to the 12. You know, if I was a pastor, most of it got, okay, the majority of my church left. Okay, I'm going to tone this down just a little bit so I don't lose everybody. That's what most pastors would think. Jesus just raises it up one notch, looks to the 12 and says, y'all want to go too? What if they said yes? He would have been the Lone Ranger. But, I mean, he just knew that, you know, if y'all want to leave too, this is the time to go. Peter said something that was tremendous. I'm pretty sure that Peter didn't have a clue what Jesus said. You know what I mean? Peter didn't have a clue. He didn't have super knowledge, right? Because if he did, we probably would have been reading about it. But we didn't read. No. Peter would have said, No. I understand what you're saying. We're not going to physically eat your flesh. We're not going to physically. We're talking about just accepting who you are and believing that you're the Son of God. Then the life of God is going to flow through. He didn't say that. This is what he said. I'm pretty sure none of the 12 understood what Jesus said as well. Peter said something that made sense. You have the words of life. Where can we go? This is what he's saying. I may not understand. I may not have the revelation. I may be confused as everybody else, but one thing I know, when you speak the words of life, even listen to me, when you speak the words of life, Even though I don't understand them, I know that life is in your word, and it brings me peace knowing that there's life in the word, even if I don't understand it. So when you read the word of God, you say, well, I just don't understand that. That's okay. You can pray for wisdom to understand it, but this is the thing. The words of God bring life, and it causes peace in your body and in your mind and in your soul, even if you don't totally understand it, because he has the words of life. Peter understood that. You have the words of life. Where can we go and get that? I don't understand everything you're saying. And the disciples did that all the time. They're in the boat. We don't have bread. Jesus starts talking about leaven. The disciples, they didn't go down the spiritual right road. They sit there and go, oh, I told you, he's upset because we didn't bring bread. Jesus says, you guys are clueless. How many know, if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those 12 guys were clueless. He told them several times. I forgot how many times. I counted up one time. At least a dozen times. I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to be raised from the dead. He was crucified. They all scattered. They didn't have a clue. He was going to be raised from the dead. They didn't even realize it and didn't believe it. They were so clueless. And you think, God, you picked out people that, man, you picked out even one dude that's going to have you crucified? Dear Lord, did you? Let's just start a company and let's pick out these 12 people. No, I don't want any of those 12. They're going to doubt you. They're going to deny you. They're going to say they never knew you. These are my team players. These are people that are alive and well in Pueblo, Colorado. And what does God say? I can do something with them. I can do something with people who deny me. I can do something with people who don't want anything to do with me, who even say there is no God. I can do something with them. I can do something with people that get mad and cuss me out. I can do something with people that hate me and blame me for their death of their child. I can do something with people who believe that I put sickness on their body. I can do something with people. He can do something with anybody. If you just believe that, if he can do that with 12 disciples, he can do so much more for you and me if we latch on to that. He has the words of life. He has the words of life. Everything we're facing, God has prepared us for this. Solomon, the Bible says he was the wisest man ever was or ever will be outside of Jesus. So when David was his father, David was a great king, Solomon was his son, and he was going to be the next king. In 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 6, it says this, and Solomon went up there to the bronze altar before the Lord, which is at the tabernacle of meeting, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. Can you imagine 1,000 priests cutting up 1,000 animals? Oh my gosh. 1,000 burnt offerings on it. On that night, God appeared to Solomon. Solomon is asleep and he has a dream, and he said to him, ask what shall I give you? Isn't that tremendous? And I'll give it to you. Solomon said to God, you have shown great mercy to David, my father, and have made me a king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David, my father, be established, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this great people of yours? He wanted to be a great king for the people. But he says, I don't even know how to do that. Then God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you've not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may be judge, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches. Riches. Riches is riches and wealth together. I said that word, so I just wanted to educate you all. You probably didn't know that word, riches. Riches is riches and wealth together. And honor, such as none. I'll work on that third word, honor, and I'll make one word out of all three. Such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any have like after the like. So God is saying this. Everything that the world is wanting, riches and wealth and honor, just happiness. He says, I'm going to give that to you. This is Old Testament, Old Covenant. But he said, because you've asked for wisdom to be a blessing to all the people in the nation of Israel. Listen to me. There's a connection with wanting to be a blessing and to help people and all that God has. Now, God doesn't withhold any of it, but I'm just saying, it seems to me that it's easier to dip into and be manifested in your life if you believe it, or if you have that right heart that it's just for me. I want it just for me. Being selfish. But if you have the mentality, I want health so I can help people. I want wealth so I can be a blessing to people. I want the joy of the Lord so I can reveal the goodness of God to everybody around me. It just seems to me, if that is your heart's desire, God says, I'll start causing you to see the wisdom of God in a different way than you've ever seen it before. All of a sudden, he was the same guy. He didn't wake up the next morning and says, I'm going to go to the University of Israel. I'm going to sign up tomorrow so I can start getting educated. No. God started downloading things to him. Just the wisdom of God. I mean, you read the story where there was a couple of families living together, and the two mothers, their beds were in close proximity, and they both had newborn babies. Well, one of the mothers rolled over the baby, I guess, in the night and smothered it, and the baby died. And she woke up in the middle of the night and realized her baby had died. So she looked over there to that baby, and she got up in the middle of the night and switched babies. She took the baby that was alive, and she put the dead baby with that mom. The next in the morning, the mother wakes up, and she realizes the baby's dead, and she realizes, this isn't my baby. She looks over to that woman holding her baby, and she says, that's my baby. No, 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 no. Your baby died in the middle of the night. This is my baby. No, it's not. I mean, a mama can tell who's her baby. You know what I'm saying? So, no, that's my baby. No, your baby died. So they brought the case before Solomon. How is this man going to decide? So they told the story. So the woman said, that's my baby. No, your baby died. And so Solomon says, okay, I understand the situation. And he told his right-hand man, bring me a sword. I don't know about you, but anytime the king wants to bring a sword, I'm not going to be happy about that. He's going to cut both our heads off or what? I mean, and he says, this is what I'm going to do. So this baby, you say it's yours. Ma'am, you said this baby, is it yours? Yes. And it's just, yes, it is. He says, okay, what I'm going to do, I'm going to divide the baby in half, and you'll get half, and you'll get half, and we'll all be happy. It'll be 50-50. And the mother, who that was her child, said, no, 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 no. Don't kill the child. Let her have it. Let her have it. Solomon said, that's the real mother. Wisdom of God spoke, and everybody was astounded over the wisdom. That, listen to me, That is what is available to you and me today. The wisdom of Almighty God, where it would astound people around us. Thank God for education. Thank God for all the initials behind people, PhD, MD. I'm an MD, Mike Davis. But anyway, I mean, all of these things, that, you know, that's great. But I tell you what, nothing can take the place of the wisdom of God. It can tell you not just how to read a book and to raise your kids, but it can tell you what you need to do for your kids specifically, for your spouse specifically, how to trust up in the wisdom of God. Everything that your children need is wrapped up in the wisdom of God. Everything that your company need, that you're working for, is wrapped up in the wisdom of God. Everything that if you have a desire to go to do another job, it's wrapped up in the wisdom of God. If you want to start a company, it's wrapped up in the wisdom of God. If you want to come up with an idea that a sale, it's wrapped up in the wisdom of God. Everything that you need is in His wisdom. So desire it. Seek after it. Proverbs 1:1. These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives. What kind of lives? Successful. Successful lives. To help them to do what is right, just, fair, these Proverbs will give insight to the simple, knowledge and discernment to the young. I'm telling you. Man, I wish I had this kind of revelation when I was a teenager to think of, wow, the wisdom of God is in Proverbs. You know, I just, you know, I read the Bible because I was raised, you better read the Bible. You just read. So I'd read a scripture or two and my little square got filled out. So I was good. I wasn't reading it to get, man, God, I want to hear from you. Download your wisdom. Download your wisdom. Spending time with God and the Word of God causes the wisdom of God to be manifested. It's in you. Reading His Word and spending time with you just causes the light bulb to shine on it. It's like turning on the light. Then you see things differently. I'm believing for you as a church, for people who are watching, man, for supernatural wisdom of God to be manifested. People that are struggling financially, people that are struggling in their physical bodies, people that are struggling in their relationships, people that are struggling with their emotions, people that are struggling and fill in the blank. I'm believing for the wisdom of God. Listen, God does not. This is not the kind of Father you and I serve. He is not the kind of God that just wants to have one nostril above the waterline. And then when you turn 85, you go, well, I survive. Barely. I don't know about you, but I've got a sister that can tread water for like days. You know, I'm out there treading water for like a minute and a half. You go, okay, I'm done. I'm going back to the shore or find me a rock. But God doesn't want you just to tread water. God doesn't want you to be on the treadmill of life that you're constantly running, but the scenery never changes. I don't know about you, but that's kind of boring. That's why I hate treadmills. I mean, you're on it, you're on it. Nothing changes, but you're running. You're giving all of your energy. Would you just sweating and everything else? But nothing is changing on the visual part. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. I still do treadmill, just so you know. I do it because I need to. But anyway, you don't need to get on the treadmill of life where you're working and you're spilling your guts, but nothing is changing. If that is happening, that's not the will of God. If you are just spinning your wheels and running, giving life, every day you wake up in the morning and you're working till nighttime and you're exhausted day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and you still just got one nostril above the waterline. You can rest assured you're missing God somewhere. That's not to condemn you. It's just a good, sweet kick in the rear end to say, hey, I'm going to believe God for something different. I'm going to believe God for something. Why? because it's available. If you don't know it's available, just like the family who's staying in their room the whole way across the ocean, ate cheese and bread while they could have had. Would you like a cup of tea with your biscuit? We can have biscuits. Biscuits in England, it's cookies. So I love biscuits in England. It's not, I love biscuits too, but I mean, but with my tea, I like to have the biscuits. You can have biscuits with your tea, or you can drink bread and water down below in your room. The choice is yours. Let's stand. No condemnation. That's not the purpose of the message. Don't think that, man, I'm the one. I don't even know if I have one nostril. Sometimes I feel like I'm under the water. Holding your breath. Yeah, I don't even have one nostril above. Listen, may this message stir you up. May this message stir you up. Because you have a Father that says, give me your hand, I'll lift you up. I don't want just one nostril. I want your whole entire being on top of the water. On top of the water. Father, we just pray in Jesus' name that you're helping each and every one of us to see differently. Help us to see on the inside. Even though it's not on the outside, we're not living there, we're not there yet, but on the inside, I see. I see myself being successful. I see myself being happy. I see myself with abundance. I see myself helping others because I know where they were at because that's where I came from. I see myself being a blessing to those around me. Father, help us to see things differently on the inside. Help us to literally crave the wisdom of God in our life, to desire it, to seek it, like Solomon, to want it so much. Father, you're not a respecter. You're a whosoever will of God. You'll give us the wisdom we need. You'll help us to be a blessing to those people around us. In Jesus' name, amen.